So I have to admit that the first 15 years of me being in the church, I felt an uneasy distance from God. I'd always wanted a close, personal relationship with Him, and yet I struggled with how to achieve it. I'd read in many places in the Bible that God wants a relationship with me, and it even says He wants to be my friend. But I think it took a couple tragedies in my life and a couple of unexpected turns for me to realize that my lack of relationship with God had to do with communication. And the missing element was not on God's part, but it was on mine. So today I would like to talk a little bit about that missing element, and that is prayer. Have you ever been frustrated with your prayer life? Have you ever wondered whether your prayers are really effective? You know, I've struggled for years with these thoughts, and truthfully, I got to the point where I really did not pray that much. I'd pray for meals at mealtime, or I'd pray here at church in opening and closing prayer. But to tell you the truth, for years, that was about it. Well, if you're struggling with prayer, I think the first place to start is to cry out, "Father, teach me to pray." Because God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be able to have this two-way communication with you. And if you are struggling with prayer, He will teach you how to pray if you let Him. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 3. You know, as complicated as we sometimes make it, prayer really is simple. It's nothing more than talking and listening to God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him." There's another version that reads, "In whom, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have the boldness, the courage, and the confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear." I mean, as ordinary human beings, we have free access to God anytime in prayer. I mean, we can approach Him boldly, without reservation, without fear, and with complete freedom. Really, how awesome is that? We can talk to the very Creator of the universe. But with prayer and a growing personal faith, God opens doors with this like unlimited help that can come from Him. But wanting to have a strong relationship with God, I found that the depth and strength of my prayer life relates directly to the depth and strength of my personal relationship with God. Think about it for a second. We all have different personalities. We have diverse temperaments and different ways that we communicate. Well, knowing that, I mean, I think it stands to reason that God deals with us individually. And learning how to pray, I mean, God is far too creative to teach every person on earth to interact with Him with prayer in the exact same way. I mean, there's prayer principles that apply to all believers, yes, but I think God leads each of us as individuals. We are in different places in our walk with Him. We are at different levels of spiritual maturity. We have different types of experiences in prayer. Well, when we learn the principles of prayer, then we need to move beyond sort of the intellectual knowledge of how to pray and take those principles to God and say, "God, teach me to apply this in my life, in my situation. I mean, make it personal. Show me how these principles will work best for me as an individual." Psalms 33, verse 15, says sort of just that. It says, "He fashions our hearts individually. He considers all of our works. Well, as we develop our individual communication style with God, I mean, we can also learn from others and ask others about their experiences, but we need to be careful not to compare ourselves with others. Just be ourselves and let God teach you individually how to pray to Him. When I first came in the church, I was told that I needed to pray at least a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour at night. Well, having the attention span of about three minutes, I mean, it just did not work for me. And that led to guilt and frustration. And I basically gave up without even trying. I mean, what a mistake I made. I mean, God knows that we are all different. Someone who is retired is going to have many more free hours in their day than someone who's raising three small children. Even what we pray about is different depending on where we are in our lives. I mean, one key to effective prayer is being a friend of God. And developing a friendship with God is really just similar to developing a friendship with anybody. Developing a great friendship with God takes time, takes energy, but it is the best investment of time and energy that we could possibly make. The truth is, you can be as close to God as you want to be. It really depends on how much you're willing to invest in that relationship. Turn to Luke chapter 11. In approaching God on the basis of friendship enables us to pray bold prayers. In Luke chapter 11, we'll read verses 5 through 8. Verse 5, it says, "Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a trip has dropped in on me and I don't have anything to serve him.' Well, suppose he answers from inside, 'Stop bothering me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Verse 8, I tell you, even though he doesn't want to get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, he will get up and give him whatever he needs because of his persistence." I mean, notice that the man who needs the bread gets it because he was persistent. I mean, the Greek word here for persistent implies shameless petition. I mean, we are only persistent with our friends because friendships make us bold. I mean, think if you're in a restaurant. Well, you can be very polite, but you don't have any problems with asking the waiter, "Could I have some more bread?" But would you ask them to help you move a couch down the stairs? Well, I don't think so, because that would be way too bold. And the reason for that is because you don't have a relationship with him. He's not your friend. Well, Hebrews 4 verse 16 tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I mean, we're not bold with people that we barely know. But as your friendship becomes more intimate, well, then our boldness starts to increase. Ephesians 3 verse 20 is another verse that sort of supports this principle. God wants to give us exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can dare to hope, ask, or think. I mean, why should we approach him with shyly or thinking I can just barely ask for what I need? That's not what that verse said. God wants us to be bold and confident and faith-filled in prayer. Respectful, yes, but not afraid or sheepish when you ask something from God. I mean, prayer is the greatest simple privilege of our lives as believer. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we should get to the point where we want to do, we get to do it. I mean, how awesome is that? Prayer is the way that we partner with God to see what his plans are for our lives and for the lives of those that we love. It is a mean by which we human beings on earth can actually enter into this awesome presence of God. You know, Satan, the enemy, has told us all kinds of lies about prayer. But the truth is, prayer is easy and natural, just like breathing. I mean, Satan does not want you to pray. He wants you to think that it's complicated, that it's full of rules, that it must be long and formal. Satan wants to steal away any creativity and freedom that God desires and enjoys in our relationship with him. Prayer does not have to be long in order to be powerful. In fact, some of the most powerful prayers in the Bible were a sentence long, if not less. Moses prayed for his sister, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." That was it. David prayed, "Have mercy and be gracious unto me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble." That was the prayer. Elijah said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Prayer doesn't need to be complicated. It only needs to come from the heart. It does not require rules that we assume certain positions or adhere to certain rules. Prayer doesn't have to be eloquent. We can communicate with God the same way that we talk with other people. We do not have to be perfect in the way we pray for God to hear our prayers. James 5, verse 16. It declares that the heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available. Prayer is the easiest and best way to deal with any situation in our lives. James 5, verse 13 says, "If any among you are afflicted, they should pray." If you have a problem, pray. If you have a need, pray. If someone hurts your feelings, pray. If you're offended, if you're sick, if you feel like giving up, pray. If you have a loved one who is suffering, or if you're discouraged, or you don't know what to do in a situation, pray. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you should pray before you do anything else. If our first response to any problem in our life is prayer, I mean, we will see the power of God come into our lives in ways that really sometimes will leave your mouth hanging open in awe. I once had to deal with an employee who worked for me who presented himself in a very wonderful way in the interview and during the first couple months of his employment. But it gradually became apparent that he was unethical and dishonest, and he was very bad and in a dangerous situation for the company. However, he was very good at deception, and he knew who he had to play up to be successful. Well, I went through this six-month process of trying to counsel him to see his areas of weakness and to try to turn his conduct around. And failing that, I started the process of having to terminate him. And it was very challenging and trying process. And even though every action I did was led by company policy, I did not have the support of my manager or the vice president of the department because he played the game with them very well. He had them fooled. They thought he was nice and that I was too hard on him. And in fact, once the process was completed and eventually he was terminated, well, they were so upset with me that I thought I was going to lose my job. I did everything by company policy. He was not good for the company. But they liked him. He played up to him. And I felt so unsupported that the vice president called me into her office and basically just yelled at me and basically said, I'm not going to have a job for a long. Well, I brought that to God in prayer. And then the very next day, the employee came back to work to clean out his desk, and he left a bomb threat and a threatening note, which started to reveal his true character to my bosses. Well, then something very funny happened. Within a week or two, each of my bosses hired their own employee for their needs. And all of a sudden, they ran into the same problem that I encountered with my employee. Both of them did. They both hired somebody who turned out not to be the person they portrayed. And they had to go through the same difficult process that I was so familiar with. They actually came to me for advice and for support, where just a few months ago, they were ready to fire me. I mean, in prayer, God works effectively in ways sometimes that you can't even imagine. I mean, my bosses went from total disagreement with my actions to having a common bond and a similar experience. I mean, God can answer prayers in ways that you cannot even imagine. You know, prayer is just like breathing. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says that we should pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says to pray without ceasing. You know, just as our physical lives are sustained by breathing, well, our spiritual lives should be maintained by praying. We can pray out loud, or we can pray silently. We can pray sitting down, standing up, lying on the floor, kneeling. We can pray while we're moving or being still. We can pray while we're shopping or waiting for an appointment, while we're participating in a business meeting or doing household chores or driving. I mean, we can say things like, thanks God for this wonderful day. Or thanks for those beautiful flowers that I saw as I'm driving in. Or that lady over there looks so sad. Father, just comfort her. I don't know what's going on, but be with her. I mean, God hears sincere, short, immediate prayers just as much as he hears all prayers. I mean, most of us live busy lives. But we can pray in the midst of doing other things. We need to make the most of the time that we have. And sometimes quick, short prayers all day are effective. That's what works for me. For me, trying to block an hour or hour and a half of time, I just can't do it. It's not my communication style. But it might be yours. And if it is, take advantage of it. You know, later on in life, that might change. It all depends on where we are in life. I remember when I lost my job. I mean, all of a sudden, I had hours and hours where I could study and pray. But you have to do what works for you. Remember, prayer is progressive. God wants you to grow in your relationship with him. You might be doing fine in your prayer life, and then all of a sudden, it feels like something's missing. Well, that something missing in our prayer lives might be God trying to take you to a new level of maturity or faith or effectiveness of expression in prayer. God always wants us to grow stronger, to go deeper, and to increase our intimacy with him through prayer. Every person's prayer life is different, so pursue prayer the way that God leads you to pray. He will lead you if you let him. Satan wants you to think, oh, your prayers are useless, or if there's any difficulty at all, you should give up. But we all move from one level to another level sometimes in our spiritual maturity. I mean, we're always growing. There's no limit to the depth of relationship that we can have with God. God wants us to pray. He wants us to enjoy praying and communicating with Him. You know, prayer is the greatest power in the universe. It is greater than any other kind of power because it's spiritual. It's not natural. I mean, prayer releases the power of God into our lives, the power of God into any situation that we might find ourselves in. Our prayers might not always be answered quickly, but prayer is powerful even when you feel like the answer is long in coming. I mean, anything is possible to God. We must not stop praying if our prayer isn't answered immediately. Just keep trusting God. Keep believing in a breakthrough. Keep remembering prayer really is powerful, and you will see change. Don't be tempted to doubt the power of prayer. I mean, read and listen to stories of powerful prayer in the Bible. Share your stories of prayer and successful prayers with others, because this helps build our faith and it helps build the faith of others. I mean, from the Old Testament days until now, people have experienced powerful prayers and the power of prayer. Our prayers don't have to be perfect. Do you know why? Because we have an intercessor. We have an older brother who will take our prayers and he fixes them and makes them perfect, and then he presents them to the Father. I mean, Jesus is our intercessor. He will intercept our imperfect prayers and deliver them to the Father as perfect prayers from a perfect person. I mean, that's how awesome Jesus Christ is in that intercessory role. I mean, we know that Jesus prays for us. Luke 22, verse 32, he says to Peter, "But I have prayed especially for you." In John 17, verse 9, he says concerning his disciples, "I pray for them." In the same chapter, he continues to say, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me." That means you. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is praying for you specifically. Hebrews 7, verse 25 tells us that he is always living to make petition to God and to intercede with him and intervene for us. I mean, how awesome is that? Romans 8, verse 34 teaches us Jesus is at the right hand of God, actually pleading for us as he intercedes. I mean, what does an intercessor do? He stands in the gap. Jesus Christ is standing in this gap between God and us, because there's a gap because we are not as perfect as God. We are not as holy as God. But Jesus is right there standing in that gap, bringing God and us together so that we can have a relationship with God the Father, and so that God can answer our very specific prayers. I mean, that is just so incredible to know. I mean, the Bible teaches us that there's many different kinds of prayer. Let's just look at a few of them quickly. There's prayers of praise and worship and thanksgiving. The book of Psalms is full of these type of prayers. Praise is our response to what God is doing. Worship is our response to who God is. And then there's thanksgiving, the grateful acknowledgement of both God's character and all that he has done for us. The Lord is doing these awesome things for us because he's faithful to us. We need to be thankful people, continually expressing our gratitude with him. There's prayers of consecration and commitment. Consecration involves giving ourselves to God. And prayers of commitment involve giving our situations to Him. Consecration is kind of what we do at baptism. We totally surrender to God. It means holding nothing back from Him and making deliberate decisions to let Him deal with anything the way that He wants to deal with it. And in the sermonette, to have the faith to know that our God is faithful. The prayer of commitment is when we give our problems to God. The prayer of commitment comes from realizing that we cannot run our lives on our own. We cannot control other people or situations that we're in. It means giving it to God and letting Him be in charge. And then the tough part, not taking the problems back, not worrying about them, not give them to God. He'll take care of it. There's prayers of petition and perseverance. Petition is when we ask or make a request to God. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. Well, if we do not knock, the door isn't going to be open. If we do not seek, we're not going to find it. And if we do not ask, we won't receive it. God wants us to ask Him for things. The prayer of perseverance, it doesn't quit. It keeps knocking with faith until the answer comes. I mean, one way of doing this is to make your requests known to God and then continually thank Him for the answered prayer, even if it's not there yet. Yeah, that's bold, but that is the prayer of faith. That's the boldness that God wants us to have when we're praying for Him. There's prayers of intercession and agreement. Intercession is when we pray for other people. We heard that in the prayer circle in the announcement. I mean, we're all part of the family of God, and relationships are the core of our Christian life. We need to help each other in prayer. We should include one another in our prayer lives. There's prayers of agreement, praying with other people of like mind. I mean, I remember one of the most delightful things was when I married Sue and Alex was 3-4 years old, and we started praying together as a family. I mean, it was amazing that the connection that you feel with God and the connection that you can feel with each other if you pray together as a family. I mean, it sort of opened up the heart of my wife to me and the heart of my son to me, because they would express things that I didn't know. They were expressing them to God, but doing it together, it was just so powerful. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. There's a lot of keys to prayers, and some of them is to obey God, to keep on praying, to be persistent in our prayers, to be properly related to authority, right? We want to be able to submit to God and let Him have authority to be our Lord in our life. Another key to prayer is to focus on others, not just yourself, to be good to people. We have to forgive people in order to be successful in prayer. And then we need, when we pray, to be expectant. We should expect God is going to answer our prayer. That is a prayer of faith. There's things that hinder prayer. Prayer, if we don't pray. I mean, God can't answer our prayers if we don't go to Him and pray. A lack of boldness can hinder our prayers. Sin can hinder our prayers. It separates us from God. Praying outside of God's will or praying for wrong motives will hinder your prayer. Doubt, unbelief, worry. Worry robs us of our trust in God, and it causes us to really take our problems back from God if we give them to Him. A lack of gratitude, negative confession. If we're always complaining, if our words aren't lining up with our beliefs or our faith, that will hinder your prayers and prayers being answered. You know, not caring for people in need or rebellion or unforgiveness. And the theme of the Bible study, like pride, will hurt your prayer. You know, God is longing for a close, intimate friendship with you. You don't make the same mistake that I did and waste years of your spiritual journey not tapping into the incredible power of prayer. There is always a new level of spiritual maturity to be gained in prayer. Ask God to increase the effectiveness of your prayers so that you can continue to grow in your relationship with Him. You will be blessed on the journey that we are all traveling on with a more intimate, more exciting, a deeper relationship with God, and more effective prayers.